swing the election, even though it was a close election.
That's right. That's right.
But wasn't there a case, I think relatively recently, where an elector voted for somebody else that wasn't even on the ballot?
Yes. Yes. And that has happened. I mean, and that's what happened in 1962. The electors mostly voted for Harry Byrd, a senator from Virginia. And there have been other stray instances recently where an elector votes for somebody who's not on the ballot.
And that was Background Briefing, bringing us Alexander Kesar, professor of history and author of The Right to Vote, The Contested History of Democracy in the United States, speaking with Ian Masters on Background Briefing. You can hear the whole interview at ianmasters.com. I'll spell that out for you. I-A-N-M-A-S-T-E-R-S. Period, C-O-M. That's right. This is KBOO Portland. It's 10 a.m. Coming up, we have Air Cascadia with Chris Andre and Flashpoints, followed by the incomparable Radio Zine featuring The Digital Divide. So keep it locked right here. There's lots more to come.
Cascadia. Today is Friday, July 8th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. I've got to say this first. Yesterday, I thought I might not be able to do the program because after the shootings in Baton Rouge and then again in Falcon Heights, I was too angry and sad. I had too much to say built up over the course of the last few years. I was too angry, I thought, perhaps, to do the program. But we went on because this is you're in the Caucasian white circle. You get on the mic and you talk no matter what. So that said, now today, this is madness. We are as Thomas Pynchon writes in Gravity's Rainbow, when Tyrone Slothrop becomes lost in the zone, they say he's gone transmarginal. And I really believe that perhaps this nation now marches in the footsteps of the anti-hero Tyrone Slothrop. And we have all, in fact, gone transmarginal. And it doesn't matter if you're on the left and you believe that you're not a racist, you believe that you see racism for what it really is, which is basically slavery, which we have obviously the economic tribulations of African Americans. I would certainly argue that this would constitute evidence that that America has definitely not progressed past slavery. Reconstruction, Tom. It's still alive and not very well. But that said, we are going to be speaking today with Kathy Kelly, and we're very pleased that she is able to join us and on this very, very extraordinary, sad. You know, sometimes you get so angry and so sad that you choke and can barely get the words out. I'm going to give you some weather, though, because we're coming up against the weekend today, showers and high around 71. Light winds tomorrow. Again, rain persisting. We could get a thunderstorm. In fact, we definitely should get a thunderstorm. We paid for it, and we bloody well deserve it. And then low around 58 overnight. For tomorrow, rain, thunderstorms, highs around 69, and windy. 7 to 15 miles per hour, gusting up to 23 south wind. Huh, strange. And Saturday night showers. Possibly sunstorm. All of this late at night, lows around 56, and windy still. For Sunday, rain and then the south wind 5 to 7. Probably will get highs around 70, so it'll be that muggy, hot, strange, thundery weather. And then Sunday night, showers tapering off. Lows around 56, bring us full circle to Monday morning, and whatever Monday morning has got up its sleeve. That said, I think we have Kathy Kelly on the line right now. Good morning, Kathy. I want to thank you very, very much. Thank you for being with us today on this extraordinary, what an extraordinary week. I was listening a bit to mainstream media flashing through some of the various stations on my drive in, and one of the lines I heard was, an outraged anchor said, "This is an attack on a whole profession." And I thought, wow, if that's, you have to imagine the sequence of the thought sequence that causes anchor to arrive at a statement like regarding the shooting in Dallas, of course. "This is an attack on a whole profession," breathlessly uttered. Kathy, thanks for being with us. I wonder if you could talk a little bit, reflect on America's psychosis, I guess, around guns.
Well, thank you, Chris. I think it's a very important time to slow down and think very carefully about where this country has put its resources. And by resources, I'm not just talking about funding. I mean ingenuity and problem-solving capacities. And relentlessly, presidential administration after presidential administration, I mean, Dwight Eisenhower warned us about it. We have put our resources, our ingenuity, our problem-solving overwhelmingly into so-called defense, both in terms of international problems and also with regard to disputes that happen within the country. And then increasingly, because we've basically robbed Peter to pay Paul, we've said to our urban areas, no, you cannot have the assistance needed in order to have decent education. No, you can't repair your infrastructure. No, you can't work on getting decent housing. No, you can't work on solving problems of unemployment. No, because we're going to give the resources to Lockheed Martin, to Boeing, to the major defense, Northrop Grumman, the major defense companies, and the people who manufacture guns and bullets and use threat and force to solve problems are going to get the resources. And the rest of you are going to have to fight with each other trying to divvy up what's left. And so you have areas where people can't meet their basic health care. They can't take care of their children. And these are the areas where And along with the historical looting, which has gone on, people also have to deal with the horrible burdens of police brutality and of the prison industrial complex. What ought to surprise us, I think, is that there has been so much restraint exercised as people have been facing impasse after impasse and been clobbered by a mercilessly racist system predicated in the military-industrial complex and the prison-industrial complex.
What troubles me is, yes, this is evident wherever we turn these days, but, you know, no more so than in the poisonous rhetoric of this election season. And I just wonder about that. People have talked for a long time about a general strike and why it is when the people who create the obscene wealth in this country and don't ever partake of it, they don't ever, even they just get the merest crumbs. And we've talked to people, we here at the station, and you and I on this show from time to time, about why people don't all rise up together and demand that this system be basically taken apart and built as something that is oriented towards fostering humankind, not destroying it. But at this point, if this country did, It is angry enough. What portions of this country that Trump has tapped into are very angry, and others about their issues, and other parts of other factions are angry or upset and very about issues having to do with, you know, as we said, humankind. This is a very dangerous. This is a real powder keg. How do we go about directing people's attention and their energy towards a peaceful uprising that intends to make the world a better place instead of just tearing apart what little...
Mm. Well, it's interesting that Howard Zinn, Z-I-N-N, historian, had said that what's needed is a changing of the guard. What he meant is that those people who were more or less put in place to, by virtue of their education and training, to guard the status quo that benefits people who are part of that 1%. If that grouping of people said, you know what, our best interests don't lie any longer in maintaining your power structure, we want to turn away from that, then Zinn felt that there could be the seeds of a revolution, and I would certainly like you want to advocate a revolution that didn't involve killing people and bloodshed and creating new spirals of hatred. So, yes, a tool such as a general strike is something that I hope people will think a lot about, and also in whose interest do you find more shared commonality? Many times people think, oh, well, I find that my security, my protection, lies in having a very well-armed police force that can exercise threat and force. But maybe our security and our protection lies in being willing to share resources more radically, in being willing to be part of organizations that want to serve others and invoke those organizations rather than ones that use threat and force, and maybe in living more simply so that the resources can be better shared. That's sort of a different set of questions to pose rather than thinking we need to be protected and the profession that protects us is the group that has the stronger guns or the greater military prowess. Well, how protected are we really? You know, we've been relying on the United States military, and it's, I think, created a place in the world where the United States is extremely insecure because so many countries around the world resent and hate what the United States has stood for in their land. And likewise, when we rely on this prison-industrial complex, well, it creates social breakdown. It creates even greater impoverishment. It creates desperation. And then, you know, figure in police brutality and the ways in which the police people are trained which are inadequate to meet human needs, well, why shouldn't we be relying instead on teachers and nurses and social workers and people who can repair infrastructure and environmentalists and creating jobs in neighborhoods so that people can have the dignity that they need to take care of their own families?
And I believe that when we end a democracy, which we don't have anymore, we have capitalism, that people formed communities and talked with one another, and that was their source of a sense of safety, was in that communal strength born out of conversations with one another. Now we seem to be living in these isolated pixel prisons where everything is that we hear of the outside world is terrifying, and we're citizens of the self. What are your final, as we have to get let you go now, but one final thought on that: how do we bring others, the followers of Donald Trump, I only say it that way, how do they learn to be part of a community again and not just isolated voices screaming?
Well, I think it is important to be out on the streets, to welcome others to join, and to try to have civil conversations as best as possible.
Kathy, I want to thank you very much for taking the time at the very last minute on a day where emotions and feelings, thoughts are highly charged, almost seems like a turning point. Thank you for being with us. My guest, of course, has been Kathy Kelly. This has been a Cascadia for Friday, July 8, 2016. Engineering for us today is the redoubtable Sam Shepherd. Thanks so much for that, Sam Parrish. This is Kathleen Stevenson, is the KBOM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.